You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Many areas of Brooklyn have undergone major demographic shifts in recent years. Williamsburg, Fort Greene, Crown Heights, Bushwick, Bedford-Stuyvesant, but a few corners of the borough remain, for the most part, undisturbed. Mark Chisano writes about one of those neighborhoods in his new collection of short fiction called Marine Park. It's published by Penguin. I'm very pleased that it brings Mark Chisano to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
For those of us who aren't familiar with Marine Park, where is it?
It's as far as you could get from the more interesting parts of the borough, I guess. The best way to describe it maybe is if you're driving out to Rockaway or you're going down Flatbush Avenue, it's all the way on the south and east right before you get to the water.
You're right that Marine Park, I'm quoting, was the part of the city least served by the train and bus system. If the oceans rose like people said they would, this part of Brooklyn would be the first to go.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, a funny thing about the oceans rising is during Hurricane Sandy, Marine Park was actually one of the better places in the city to be because it's protected by a salt marsh and natural barrier, so the water just kind of got soaked up and it was totally fine.
It has a nature reserve.
It does, yeah.
And don't many people in the area, the ones who can afford them, have boats?
Yes. Marine Park proper is kind of a little bit off the water, but then there are sort of these sections that houses with docks that go out right on the water.
But what I remember is Lenny's Clam House. Is that in Marine
Park?
Yeah,
and I think I get off Flatbush Avenue, right?
Yeah.
Right by in the bay. Yeah.
Surrounding neighborhoods such as Mill Basin, the Flatlands, and Canarsie also lack proximity to public transit. Does that keep the real estate prices low?
It does, I think. I think it's definitely keeping the neighborhood from changing as quickly as other parts of the borough are.
And what are the demographics?
It's very much, it hasn't changed much in the past 50 years. It's very much Italian and Irish, Orthodox Jewish in parts, and kind of surrounded by all different types.
A New York Times article from 2008 noted that the neighborhood council's motto was improve, don't move.
That's
so
great.
There must be a strong sense of loyalty to the area.
Yes, it's very – people don't move too far away from it. But actually, there was a Times article a couple of years ago that was talking about the bocce courts in Marine Park, the park itself, which for a long time were discouraging towards women to use the bocce courts. So it's a strange neighborhood, and it would look very different to other parts.
And I'm assuming it's a bit insular because it's so out of the way.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Everyone sort of moves around and from church to school, and work is often not too far away.
In one of your stories, Shatter the Trees and Blow Them Away, you referred to extensive plans in the 1930s to expand rail service and highways to South Brooklyn. What happened?
Yeah, that's all true. And one of the very few historians of Marine Park, a guy named Thomas Campanella, tells it really well. It's this crazy story of a great design for the park by a guy named Charles Downing Lay, who was a landscape architect. And in the 1930s, he was planning on, bringing a yacht club to Marine Park, a huge stadium. It was just going to be like sort of Brooklyn Bridge Park is today, and that never happened. And actually, one of the reasons it didn't happen was because of Robert Moses, who also helped it stay in the natural way it is today, which is ironic for Moses, who's a builder, not a preserver, really.
Also, money suddenly dried up because of World War II.
That's right, yeah.
You grew up in Marine Park?
I did.
In almost every story, you include place names that most people who are not from Brooklyn won't recognize, like... they'll recognize Flatbush Avenue,
right,
perhaps, but do you imagine most of your readers will already be familiar with King's Highway, Sheepshead Bay, Garretson Beach, Avenue R?
Yeah, probably nothing. None of those except for maybe Sheepshead Bay. But one of my favorite things about talking about Marine Park in other parts of the borough is that, you say, sometimes I bike down Bedford Avenue in Marine Park, and they think, oh, you're near Williamsburg, but it's, Bedford Avenue on the totally other side of the borough.
Bedford Avenue, I think, is the longest street in Brooklyn.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well,
because
it
starts, at the end of Greenpoint,
right,
and goes down, and then it makes a turn, and it makes a right angle and goes all the way through Brooklyn.
Right, exactly. And a great bike path, actually.
Many of the stories mention the Marine Park Oval, Were you trying to create a consistent landmark for non-natives to connect to?
Yeah, I kept returning to the park itself, and the Oval is a big part of it. Actually, there's another great history bit about the Oval, which was in the original plans for the park. Charles Downing Lay had an enormous stadium there, which was going to be one of the biggest in New York City, and that obviously never got made, but it's right where the Oval is now, so it's sort of this ghostly remainder.
One of the stories is called Haircut, which bridges two generations of Marine Park characters, a younger man and a barber who is an older Mexican immigrant. And they stop at a basketball court, and you write something that I think really captures the spirit. Quote, "The Orthodox Jewish point guards reaching for their yarmulkes, the black men polite pausing the game if the yarmulkes fell off. You had to kiss them first. Even Andrew knew that. It was the only thing a game stopped for. After, everyone went off in their own cars to their own neighborhoods."
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite things about the park itself is that it's a great collector of all sorts of people, all nationalities, races, ages. And particularly the basketball court is sort of a utopia of that.
Well, it makes it sound very nice, but Haircut ends quite violently. As do a few other stories in the collection. Is Marine Park a dangerous neighborhood?
No, really not at all. Although probably the teenagers in the park would tell you differently. They're as repping Brooklyn as much as they could. But no, it's a very safe neighborhood and a very sort of family-oriented neighborhood.
Were any of the crimes that you've written about here based on true incidents?
Not in Haircut. I'm probably going to perjure myself right now, but I did a stint in jury duty, and I did a grand jury. And so some of the incidents were based very loosely off some of the things that I heard about in Brooklyn.
A number of these stories feel like they have a semi-autobiographical thing to them. So, or at least are based on things that you experienced or saw. My guest is Mark Chiusano, Chiusano. His collection of short stories is called Marine Park, and it is published by Penguin, 17 different stories, but many of them feature the same two brothers, Loris and Jameson.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's probably the most autobiographical aspect of it. I do live in a family with two parents and a brother, younger brother, and he is pretty happy with his depiction here. I think he comes off pretty well.
Well, you get the sense that there is a blurring of this area between urban and suburban life. In heavy lifting, they shovel their neighbors' driveways. In air conditioning, their parents fight over a clothesline.
Yes, that's right. We do have someone just asked me recently if I knew what a clothesline was, and this was in more urban Brooklyn. I said, yes, I'm very familiar with clotheslines.
And people aren't familiar with them anymore, but they were pretty common all throughout the borough,
yeah.
Or maybe throughout the whole city at one point.
I think so, though now I guess people just do washer dryers or something.
The last story in the collection, The Tree, is probably the most personal.
Yes, I think so.
And that was published by the Harvard Crimson when you were graduating from Harvard in 2012?
Yeah, a version of it. And it was a sort of a personal short essay, and then I kind of changed it into this family world that was developing with the rest of the collection.
Did your parents work in Manhattan?
No.
Was there a big commute?
They had a bit of a commute, but not too far. My mom is a math professor at Brooklyn College, and my dad is an English teacher in downtown Brooklyn. So they both drove to work, not too far.
What about other people in the area? Do most of them, because when I was growing up in Williamsburg, which was very close to Manhattan, we still talked about going into the city.
Yeah, for sure. Capital C, city, you know. I would say the majority of the people in Marine Park are civil workers of some sort, firemen, policemen, teachers, that kind of thing. So, you know, there are plenty of people whose firehouses are in the city and have to commute all the way there. But
you knew when you were at Harvard that you were going to devote yourself to writing short stories. I assume you haven't yet made a stab at a novel.
Not yet. That's in the works. But, you know, hopefully there'll be time for that. But I did know it's actually one of the reasons I went to Harvard was to work with some of the great English professors there and creative writing teachers.
And you experiment with different writing styles here, especially in the story We Were Supposed.
Yeah, that's a very short one. It's actually basically one sentence long. I didn't sort of have a coherent style yet. I still don't. I'm still kind of experimenting. I think that's what makes a short story collection interesting, is to keep jumping around and trying different styles.
But by focusing on just one neighborhood, you could...
Right, that's the cohesive.
You could avoid the other pitfalls of trying all sorts of different things.
Right, exactly.
Now that you've left the area, are we going to get a Manhattan book?
Right, yeah, the next one is Cobble Hill Stories. No, probably not. But I think Brooklyn's an interesting place to write about, and it's become the center of the world in a lot of ways, which it wasn't while I was growing up, and certainly Marine Park isn't and wasn't. So it's been interesting sort of thinking about that and the way Brooklyn has developed.
Marine Park representing the old Brooklyn in a way.
Right. Although I try not to get too romantic about it.
What's been the reaction of people back home?
So far, very good. I did a reading in downtown Brooklyn, and a Marine Park resident came in a big Marine Park shirt, which was great. So it's been pretty nice having them sort of support the book, and I think they're all surprised to see something about the neighborhood that they've lived in for so long.
Especially since they are often surprised when people even know that there's a place called
Marine
Park. Right,
exactly. No one really expects it.
And the book is called Marine Park Stories. My great thanks to Mark Chiusano for being on our show today. The book is published by Penguin. It's been fun talking with you and thinking about Marine Park.
Thanks for having me.